United States against Darian Ford. Mr. Kirsch.
May it please the court. The district court erred in granting the defendant's motion to suppress. First, the district court applied the wrong standard. The district court applied a subjective as opposed to an objective standard when determining reasonable suspicion. Second, under the facts of this case, there's no question that the reasonable suspicion standard in Terry versus Ohio was satisfied. At the suppression hearing, Officer Thomas testified that on a Saturday evening...
Just clear up one of the facts here for me. This is an off-duty Hammond police officer.
Finishes
work, and then he goes to this skating rink, and he still is in his Hammond police uniform working at the door?
Your Honor, that's correct. As a matter of fact, he starts his shift at the roller rink at 10 p.m., and his shift with the Hammond police ends at 10 p.m. He's a patrol officer. He patrols the area. So at 10 p.m., one shift ends, the next begins.
Is that unusual? I've just never heard of anything like that.
It's not unusual, Your Honor. It's also not unusual for off-duty police officers to work in banks.
Oh, I know.
And things like that.
Off-duty police officers do a lot of things, but to do it while you're in your police uniform, I would think the city of Hammond certainly wouldn't want anything like that if he were to do something bad. Beat somebody up or something, they'd be liable, wouldn't they?
Well, I think it's a department-by-department policy, what the department allows. But in this case, the officer was off-duty, and he was in his fully marked uniform. His car was outside of the roller dome. He was wearing his gun, etc.
That, of course, hurts your case.
Well,
you'd have a lot better case if he was
We don't argue that he's a private citizen. We don't argue that it's a private actor here on appeal. But what happened at 10 o'clock on a Saturday evening in a high-crime area is all relevant to the totality of the circumstances. Officer Thomas is working a metal detector, like I said, in a high-crime area at 10 o'clock on a Saturday evening. The roller dome is filled with hundreds of children. The defendant, Darian Ford, walks into the roller dome, walks through the metal detector. The metal detector is activated. After the metal detector is activated, Officer Thomas says, "Step forward," which isn't a stop, because Darian Ford then steps backward, reaches for his pocket, and looks around nervously, refusing to make eye contact with the officer. The district court held that when Officer Thomas said, "Step forward," the defendant attempted to flee. By stepping backwards, the district court interpreted that as an attempt to flee. Based on those factors, Officer Thomas had a reasonable suspicion to conduct a pat-down search.
Well, I assume you agree that he had a right to leave the roller dome without being searched after he activated the metal detector.
Absolutely, he had a right to leave the metal detector. Absolutely, after he activated the metal detector, if he would have simply turned around and walked out of the roller dome and even walked back through the metal detector, he may have had a right to leave. Now, I don't suggest that the officer would have let him leave at the point in which the officer conducted the pat-down search, partly because the officer had a reasonable suspicion that he may be in danger or the criminal activity may be afoot.
But if you agree with my proposition, how can we use this attempt to leave as evidence that criminal activity was afoot? He takes a step to leave, doesn't he?
The district court interpreted his step backwards as a step to leave. But even if you don't take that as part of the totality of the circumstances when judging reasonable suspicion, under the Hodari D case, a stop did not occur at the point when he said, "Step forward." A stop did not occur until the physical search began. And that, when the physical search began, all of the circumstances known to Officer Thomas should be taken into account, including the nervous behavior, the reaching towards the pocket, etc., the taking the step backwards. So all of that weighs into the totality of the circumstances test.
Am I correct that, well, it appears from the pictures of the roller dome that there is no place for people who are entering the facility to empty their pockets of benign metal objects like keys or watches or jewelry or belt buckles. Is that right?
That's true, Your Honor. There is no place for people to empty their pockets on that evening in question.
So under those circumstances, it would seem to me that the machine would alert for almost anyone passing through.
It would alert for people who are passing through who have a certain concentration of metal on their person. But that factor is merely one factor in the totality of the circumstances.
Right, but in what sense does that alert then give rise to a reasonable suspicion of criminal activity? If every time someone goes through it, you know, their keys alert.
Well, that's not the case, that every time someone goes through it, their keys alert. These metal detectors are set up as such as you have to have a large concentration of metal on your person in order for the metal detector to go off. Now, I'm not disputing the fact that if you were wearing steel-toed boots and if you had a huge concentration of steel in your toes, the metal detector may activate. But coupled with the fact that it was late 10 p.m. On a Saturday evening in a high-crime area. Now, the roller dome doesn't open at 10 p.m. The hours, I submit, it's not in the record, but it's late. It's late in the evening. The roller dome is filled with hundreds of children. It's in a high-crime area. The police officer observes the defendant walk through a metal detector, which is activated. After he walks through the metal detector, he reaches for his pocket, he steps backward, and he looks around nervously. All of those factors have to be taken together in their totality to determine whether or not the officer had a reasonable suspicion to conduct a pat-down search at the point in which he did conduct it.
But, you know, how objectively dangerous could the neighborhood have been if the officer didn't factor that danger into his decision to search for?
Well, I submit that that's a subjective question that is irrelevant to the determination of whether or not reasonable suspicion existed. The standard is whether a reasonable person would have made the decision to search based upon the totality of the factors known to the officer. Whether the officer was in fact scared or what factors the officer considered is not relevant. This court in United States versus Brown held, courts are not limited to what the stopping officer says or to evidence of his subjective rationale. Rather, we look to the record as a whole to determine what facts were known to the officer and then consider whether a reasonable officer in those circumstances would have been suspicious. I'd like to reserve my remaining time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Kirsch. We'll hear now from Mr. Chair.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to appear before you and in support of the decision by the trial court in this particular cause. It's not often that I have the opportunity to sit at on that side of the courtroom, and I treasure the opportunity that I now have. Your Honor, this isn't a complicated matter. The facts are undisputed. Both sides agree about what the facts state. They disagree with the reasoning of the court in its decision in support of the motion to suppress. We obviously agree with the court in that regard. Essentially, what we can...
Let me ask you, not to make your time at that table unpleasant, but if there is a metal detector set up in a building, a place like this roller rink, and a uniformed law enforcement officer at that metal detector, a person seeing the metal detector, seeing it being manned by a law enforcement officer, has a choice, I would think, to go back out the door or to proceed through the... You've got to do one or the other. Maybe just stand in place. But why can't it be assumed in this day and age under that scenario that when you do cross through a metal detector, you are consenting to a search?
Well, I don't think you're necessarily consenting to a search. I think what you're doing is subjecting yourself to the disclosure of weapons,
right,
that could create violence. As the government has indicated, the purpose of this metal detector was to ferret out weapons that could cause violence.
You're not saying that because it turned out he only had a scale and some cocaine, that's different than if he would have had a weapon. If he'd had a weapon, you would still be arguing that should be suppressed, wouldn't you?
Well, yes, Your Honor, we certainly would be. However, in this particular instance, he didn't have a weapon. So it flies in the face of what the government is trying to show. The purpose of this entire proceeding, according to them, was to prevent the children from being harmed. Under no circumstance did we present a case where in our client appearing at that particular site, did our client threaten the lives or the safety of any children. The metal detector set off the alarm. However, it did not under constitutional safeguards cause this private entity or this police officer to intrude upon the privacy of this particular individual. Certainly, the police officer could have said, and despite the fact there were signs of warnings, the police officer could have said, well, if you're going to enter this place, you're subject to search. And that would have clearly given this individual the opportunity to in fact, turn around if he chose to do that, or subject himself to any further intrusion that the officer was requesting. So I really don't think that that by his going inside this location, it was a consensual search of any type.
Now, you know, Mr. Terry, you focus on why Officer Thomas decided to conduct this search. You never responded, or maybe I missed it, but it didn't seem to me that you responded to the government's assertion that the test is objective, not subjective. Because this officer's intentions are irrelevant if any reasonable officer would have had a reasonable suspicion of criminal activity.
Well, I don't think any person in that officer's position had a reasonable suspicion of any kind of criminal activity being conducted. Absolutely. They testified before. I mean, they testified at the hearing that out of the number of years that the owner has operated this facility and the officer has been there, no activity of any discovering of any weapons of any type existed. So when this officer saw the alarm go off, he had no reasonable suspicion that there was any safety concerns of any type. But nevertheless, he did not give the client the opportunity to exit the location or reverse himself. He thereupon proceeded to ask him to step forward where he had already determined that he was going to conduct this search. And the court reasonably and properly concluded that the subsequent pat-down search was in fact illegal. There were no warning signs or anything of that nature outside this location, as there are in courts and perhaps other governmental locations, giving you the opportunity to reverse yourself. Those signs were not there, and therefore he had no idea at the time he entered this location, he was consequently subjecting himself to this particular search.
That's what I was asking you about. I looked at those pictures in the reply brief, and there are really no signs, but I asked you if he knew, and maybe I misunderstood your answer. My hypothetical was, if a person walks towards a metal detector manned by a law enforcement person, and he knows it's a metal detector, why can't we assume that under the Fourth Amendment exclusionary rule purposes, that you're consenting to a search if the metal detector is activated. Now, in looking at these pictures, I don't know if he knew, but I thought you had conceded that he did know that there was a metal detector there.
There's no testimony that he actually knew, but the court concluded that because the metal detector was quite obvious as it sat there, it concluded that he had no other alternative but to believe, in fact, that that he knew that he was going to be searched by entering through this metal detector. As I move forward with the argument in support of the trial court, the government's principal argument relies upon reasonable suspicion, and they indicate that as the individual went through the metal detector and stepped forward, the officer at that time had reasonable suspicion because the metal detector was set off. And if you look at what has happened previously relative to that location, again, no weapons of any type have ever been discovered. There have been keys and other things that set off the metal detector. So there was no reason for that officer to believe that his safety was in danger, or any of the patrons' safety was in danger because of the metal detector going off. He only gathered that reasonable suspicion that the government now talks about after the individual at that point in time took a step backwards and the officer determined that he was about to flee. Then that suspicion arose.
In this building, if someone walked through the metal detector on the first floor, activated it, and then turned around and started walking out, what do you think the CSOs in this building would do?
What would happen if an individual walked in, the metal detector went off, and they turned around?
Well, assume it's not one of these busy days where there's hundreds of people. There's four CSOs sitting at that metal detector. You walk through, you activate it, you turn around, and you start to leave.
With a great degree of certainty, I can tell you, if it's a police officer, they've been trained to be observant of activity that appears to be abnormal. So if that metal detector went off and the individual then turned around to leave, they would stop him to in fact determine what in fact caused that metal detector to go off. A police officer is trained to do that, and I think that is in fact what would happen. In conclusion, I'd like to say that I think the court's decision has to be sustained, and I say that because if we were to allow these kinds of situations to occur, I think metal detectors could be set up all over the place, at grocery stores, any other kind of public location, in an effort to detect weapons, guns, or anything of that nature, in order to protect the health, safety, and concerns of people entering those establishments, and this court.
Sir, your time has expired.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Kirsch has 2 minutes.
I'd like to very briefly touch on the consent issue. The government is not pursuing its consent to the pat-down search on appeal, but the government maintains, the appellee, I guess, maintains that the metal detector search in the first instance was illegal. The government maintains that by walking through the metal detector, the defendant, Varian Ford, unequivocally consented to that search. There's no evidence that he was coerced to walk through the metal detector. There's no evidence that he was compelled to walk through the metal detector. Him walking through the metal detector was entirely voluntary. He voluntarily consented to the metal detector search by watching through it. As to the other issues, the government continues to maintain that the district court applied the wrong test when it determined whether reasonable suspicion existed in this case. Based on the totality of all of the factors known to Officer Ford at the time that he decided to conduct, or excuse me, I say decided, but that's another thing that I wanted to touch on. The decision to search implicates nothing. The decision to do something is totally irrelevant. The question is, were the totality of the circumstances sufficient to establish the standard in Terry at the time that the officer began his search? And the question is yes. In this case, if telling Officer Thomas he did not have enough facts to conduct a search in these circumstances would be tantamount to saying that Officer Thomas was required to wait until Darian Ford pulled a gun or a knife or a Chinese star out of his pocket and aimed it at Officer Thomas or one of the hundreds of children in the roller dome and shot before Officer Thomas could act. Unless the court has any other questions, I ask that the district court be reversed.
Thank you, Mr. Kirsch. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.